Concept of Cheskas Haguf. Today, I'd like to continue our discussion of this topic. The Mishnah Daf Ayin Hey talks about the case of a person who's Mekadesh Anisha, and it turns out that she has some Mumin. The question is, when did these Mumin appear on the woman? If the Mumin appeared on the woman before the Kiddushin, so then the Baal can claim Mekach Tos, that the Kiddushin should be Batel. But if they appeared on the woman after the Kiddushin, so then the woman can claim it was the bad luck of the Baal, Nistachva Sadeh, it was the bad mazel of the Baal, and you should have to pay the Ksuba, you should have to pay the full Ksuba, and the Kiddushin should be Kayam, the Kiddushin should be fine. So the question is, what's the halacha, what's the din in this case where you find Mumin on the woman after the Nisuin? And the question is, when did the Mumin appear? So the first pshat in the Gemara, and the Fayin Hamid base, is that it's the old Machlogos, Rabban Gamliel, and Rabbi Yeshua that we find in the end of the first paragraph as to whether we go basa cheskas haguf b'makom cheskas mamon. Here there's a cheskas mamon. We want to be motzi mamon from the Baal that he should pay the ksuba. So if we follow cheskas haguf, the cheskas shleima of the woman that she didn't have any mumin, so memela we should be able to be motzi mamon from the Baal. But if we don't follow cheskas haguf, so then we can't be motzi mamon. This is the basic pshat, the first pshat in the Gemara. Tosus points out that based on the Gemara, the Gemara continues that if we wouldn't have a Cheskas Mamon, even Rabbi Yoshua, even those who claim that normally we don't follow Cheskas Haguf Makom Cheskas Mamon, even these deos would agree that we would follow Cheskas Haguf. The only reason why we won't follow Cheskas Haguf, perhaps over here, is because there is a Cheskas Mamon. But if there would be no Cheskas Mamon, everyone would agree that we would follow Cheskas Haguf. Continues Tosfos and says that we would follow Cheskas Haguf, even if there's another Chazaka that's misnage, that's against the Cheskas Haguf, as we have in our case. There's a Cheskas Pnuya, right? The Cheskas Haguf, Cheskas Shleima tells me that Mistama the Mumin occurred at the latest possible moment. Mistama the Mumin occurred after Kiddushin. But Cheskas Pnuya tells me that since the woman was never married, right, we assume that she remained in that state of Pnuya until the latest possible moment. If it's literally the latest possible moment, so you would imagine that the Mumin occurred before Kiddushin. Right? So the Cheskas Haguf of Cheskas Shleima seems to be going in one direction, seems to be telling me that I should assume that the Mumin occurred after Kiddushin, and the Cheskas Pnuya seems to be telling me that I should assume that the Mumin occurred before Kiddushin. So what should we do? So it says Tosfos, if there would be no Cheskas Mamon here, we would follow Cheskas Haguf for sure. Even though there is a Cheskas Pnuya, we'd still follow Cheskas Haguf. Aye, there's a Tarti Lareis, says Tosfos. There really are two different Chazakas that are working against the Cheskas Shleima. First of all, there's a Chazaka, the Hashtav of Mum Lefonecha, the fact that she does have Mumin now. So you would say the Chazaka, the Hashtav should combine with the Cheskas Pnuya to beat out the Cheskas Haguf. Says Tosfos, no. Tosfos says, even though normally Tarti Lareis tells me that two Chazakas against one can win out, but in this case, the Cheskas Pnuya is not going to beat out the Cheskas Haguf. That's what Tosfos quotes from the Rash Mishans. What does that mean? So the Shmaitza Beis, Perek Beis, explains that Tosfos means to tell us a fundamental issue, that even though normally Tarti Lareis tells me that I can follow two Chazakas b'makom one, I can say two against one wins, right? Tarti l'reisa, if there are two Chazakas against one, the two Chazakas win, but b'makom Cheskas Haguf, Tarti l'reisa may not be invoked. This is how the Shmaitza understands Tosfos, that Tosfos is telling us a fundamental yisod. It's not just a local halacha, as the Shita Mekubetzes explains, a local halacha that Cheskas Pnuya is somehow more kal than other Chazakas. Cheskas Pnuya is more lenient, it's not as strong as other Chazakas, and therefore it doesn't win Keneged Cheskas Haguf. No, it's a din of, it's a fundamental yisod, that Tarti L'Reyesa cannot be used b'makom Cheskas Haguf. And the question is why? What's the basis of this svara that the Shmaitza sets forth in Shmaitza Beis Perek Beis? Why should Tarti L'Reyesa not be able to be used b'makom Cheskas Haguf? So, it seems to me, some of the svarim say this way, Shlomo Zalman in his comments on the Shmaitza, in his Sefer, he seems to say like this in certain places. There are other svarim that suggest a similar mahalach. That the pashut pshat is that Cheskas Haguf is somehow fundamentally different in Yesod, in its fundamental nature. There's a fundamental difference between Cheskas Haguf as opposed to other Chazakas. Hare, we know we've been developing at great length in the past that Chazaka is a Hanhaga B'Yalma. Chazaka is opposed to Rov. Rov is a Birur. Rov is Mevarer, the Metzios. Rov is misalek, the suffix, it clarifies what the Metziah should be, as opposed to Chazakah. Chazakah is just the Hanhaga B'Yalma. It's an acceptable mode of behavior that the Torah gives us to follow B'makam suffix. It doesn't remove the suffix. This is the way that we've explained over time. Could be the Svarim say, could be that Cheskas Haguf is fundamentally different than this. Cheskas Haguf is not like Chazakah. It's not a Hanhaga B'Yalma. Cheskas Haguf is more similar to Rov. Cheskas Haguf is like a birur. It clarifies the Metzias. It removes the suffix. It's misalik the suffix. Why should Cheskas Haguf be a birur more than any other chazaka? More than a chazaka in Din, let's say. So the answer probably is, and I saw the Sfarim quote that the Ma'arit in a Tshuva, in Choshe Mishpat Simen Chaf, he says something similar, that there's a very big difference between saying that the din of a cheftza or a gavra changed and saying that the cheftza or the gavra itself changed. It's much more mistabit to say that dinim can change. It's less mistabit to say that the actual appearance or the physical reality of the cheftza or the gavra changed. It makes much more sense to say, misvara, you should say that a cheftza or a gavra does not change b'metzius. Now, cheskas haguf, presumably the simple understanding of it, is that it's a chazaka in the metzius of a gavra, the metzius of a cheftza, right? So it makes a lot of sense, at least misvara even, not only to say that there's a hanhaga al pidin, that you're allowed to follow chazaka, but that cheskas haguf itself is almost like a birur. It's almost like a svara to say that once we know that the guf was in a certain form, that the guf achetz or the guf agavra was in a certain form, it makes sense to assume that it didn't change. Right? It's not simply a halachic principle. It's a halachic mechanism that we can follow. No, it's a svara. Once you say it's a svara, so it makes a lot of sense to assume that it's a birur, that it actually is mevarer based on svara. Just like Rebbe Lesser Kamon is a svara that we assume that it's mevarer. It's mevarer, it's a svara in teva, and that can be mevarer the metzias. So to cheskas haguf, since it's a principle, it's a chazaka that relates to the guf hagarva, the guf hachefza, it's a chazaka that relates to the metzias. It makes a lot of sense that we should assume that the metzias doesn't change. And if the metzias doesn't change, it should almost be like a birur. It should clarify for us, if we have a suffix as to whether the metzias changed, we should assume that the metzias taka did not change. Based on this, we can explain why the Shmaitza understands Tosis as saying that Taita Nereza cannot be used b'makom cheskas haguf. Why? Because as we mentioned earlier, the Shmaitza Gimel Perek Tazayin explains what is Taita Nereza based on. Shmaitza says it's based on the fact that you have two chazakas, can I get one? Right? It's simply a tziruf of chazakas, that one chazak is mesayer to the other one, and it beats out the third chazaka. So lachara, that can only be said if the three items that you're talking about are all chazakas. If they're all hanhagas, you could say that two hanhagas are going to beat out one. Right? But if one of the chazakas is a cheskas haguf, and if we assume a cheskas haguf is a birur, lechor, it's no different than saying that Taita L'Reisa should not work b'makom rov. Hare rov is mevarer the metzius. It's mesalek the safek. The only time that we can follow hanhaga of a chazaka, that's b'makom safek. So even if you have two hanhagas together, there are two chazakas that you want to be mitzayef together, they can't be mevarer if there is no safek. They can't tell us how to be noheg, excuse me, if there is no safek. So if you have a birur that's mevarer the metzias and it removes the suffix, so then there's no point for chazaka bechlal. Tarti l'reisa can only be applied if you have two chazakas against one, so we can choose two against one. You want to know how to be knowing? So it makes more sense to be mitzayef the two chazakas to beat out the third chazaka. But if we're talking about a cheskas haguf, that tarti l'reisa should be applied against the cheskas haguf, that doesn't make any sense, because if cheskas haguf is a birur, just like tarti l'reisa probably should not apply b'makom rov, because once rov is mevarer the metzius and mesalek the suffix, so then there is no suffix to talk about. It doesn't make sense to look for hanhagos to apply b'makom suffix if there is no suffix. So similarly, in the context of cheskas haguf, l'chor cheskas haguf will beat out any number of chazakos that you put up against it. This idea that cheskas haguf might actually be a birur, that it might clarify the metzius, it might remove the suffix, this has implications, it has nafkamina for several other issues as well. First of all, the concept of safek tumah. Safek tumah b'shus hayochid b'makom cheskas haguf. What's the halacha? So the Mishnah, we all know the Mishnah at the beginning of Masechta Nida, Sham Hayomer kol anoshim dayan shaitan. And if a woman sees dam, she was bodek herself, let's say, on Sunday, and then she sees dam on Thursday, so the Shammai paskins that the woman is allowed to assume that dayan shaitan, she only became tumeya at the time when she saw dam. At the time when she saw dam on Thursday, any taras, any items that she touched between Sunday and Thursday, she doesn't have to assume that they're tumeya. Beis Hillel disagrees. Beis Hillel assumes that she has to be choshesh from the last time that she was bodek. But as the Gemara explains later on Daf Gimel, even Beis Hillel agrees to Beis Shammai by Chulin. They're only machmir when it comes to kachim and truma. It's a special chumer by truma and kachim. But basically, everyone agrees that she can assume that until she knows for sure that she's Tumeya, that she was actually Tahara. What's that based on? So the Gemara on Daf Beis explains, based on Chazaka. Right? Hamid Isha al Cheskasa. We're allowed to apply Chazaka to attribute the woman to follow Cheskas Tara. The woman has a Cheskas Tara, she can follow that Cheskas Tara. So she doesn't have to assume that she was Tamei until she knows Bevada that she actually became Tamei. This is the basic, the first Mishnah in Masechta Nida. The Tosis, the first Tosis in Masechta Nida, yes, a big Tosis, the first Kasha, Mamash, the first Kasha in Masechta Nida, Tosis, yes, we know there's a Klal, Sofik Tumah B'Shus Hayochet Sveiko Tomei. This is derived from Sota, that the Sota did her Maisa B'Seser, it's B'Shus Hayochet, it's a private area. We find that Sofik Sota is Tamei, so Sofik Tumah B'Shus Hayochet Sveiko Tomei. Moreover, Safik Tuma B'Shus Hayachet Sveiko Tomei, even B'Makom Cheskas Tara, every woman has a Cheskas Tara, she's Muteras Labaila till we know that she's Asura. So you see, if we're going to derive Safik Tuma B'Shus Hayachet Sveiko Tomei from Sota, you see that Safik Tuma B'Shus Hayachet Sveiko Tomei, even B'Makom Cheskas Tara. The Cheskas Tara, no, the Cheskas Tara there is the Chazok in Din, we're saying that she's Muteras Labaila. We're not talking about the goof of the woman per se. So Sofik Tumah B'Shus Hayachet Sveiko Tomei even B'Makom Cheskas Tara. So asks Tosfos, how can Beis Shammai, and as the Gemara says, even Beis Hillel agrees, if we wouldn't be talking about the Chumra of Kachim and Truma, even Beis Hillel would agree, we follow Chazaka by Nida, why shouldn't the din of Sofik Tumah B'Shus Hayachet Sveiko Tomei kick in, that even though the woman has a Cheskas Tara, we shouldn't be able to follow Cheskas Tara? That's Tosfos Kasha. So Tosfos answers, Sofik Tumah B'Shus Hayachet Sveiko Tomei cannot allow us to be metame lemafreya. The concept of Sofik Tumah B'Shus Hayachet Sveiko Tomei that's derived from Sota, that's to be metame mikanu lahaba. That the woman, after we know that she's besafik Sota, so she's Tameya, she's Asura Labaila in the future. But to say lemafreya that she's going to be Tameya based on this Sofik Tumah, that we can't do. What are we trying to do in Masechta Nida? We're trying to be metame lemafreya. We're trying to say that the woman should be viewed as Tamei Lamafreya, so that all the Taras that she touched between Sunday and Thursday should be Tameos. That far we can't derive from Sota. That's Tosus' Taras of the Kasha. But the Shmaitz in two places, in Shmaitz Aleph, Perek Tesvav, and in Shmaitz Beis, Perek Aleph, the beginning of Perek of Shmaitz Beis, the Shmaitz says, I have a simpler Taras to Tosus' Kasha. What do you need Tosus' answer for? The Shmaitz says, even though Sovik Tumah B'Shus Hayachet Sveiko Tomei, even b'makom cheskas tara, but you should know safek tuma b'shus hayachid sveiko tohar b'makom arov. Right, the halacha that safek tuma b'shus hayachid sveiko tohar, even b'makom some other principle, that's not a general klal that it always applies. We always assume safek tuma b'shus hayachid sveiko tohar. No, it's only b'makom chazak b'makom cheskas tara, but b'makom arov that's not true. The haraya, the gemara in chulin on daf yud says, what happens if I have a tzlochis, the pitcher of mei para, the mayim with the efer of the para aduma, together with the water? So what happens if I left the tzlochis mechusa, and I come back and I find that it's megula, that someone uncovered the tzlochis while I was gone? What's the halach of that tzlochis? So the Gemara in Chulin quotes a braisa that says it's tahora. It's tahora, the tzlochis, I left it mechusa, and then it's megul. I don't know who is megala the tzlochis. I can assume that it's tahora. Why? How? What's the hechreah? How can I just assume that it's tahora? So the Gemara says, what are you going to be choshish for? Your chashash is going to be that maybe an Adam Tome came and was megala the tzlochis, and he was matame the mei para? The fact is that rove indications are that there should be, that the tzlochis should still be tahara. Why? Because first of all, it could be that an adam tahar came and was megala the tzlochis. Maybe it was uncovered by an adam tahar. And even if you assume that it was not an adam tahar that was megala the tzlochis, maybe an animal uncovered it. Maybe a nochash came. Maybe a sheretz came. And we know balei chayim are not metame mechayim. So balei chayim themselves, if they would have uncovered the tzlochis, whatever is included, whatever is inside the tzlochis, which would still be tahara. So rov possibilities tell us that the tzlochis should still be tahar. Right, so the case over there is a case of safek tuma, and the Gemara is assuming that for makom rov we won't say that safek tuma tame. Now what's the case? What are we talking about? So if you look at the lashon of the brayse, it says, what are you going to be choshev for? Shema adam tame nichnas lashon. Nichnas lashon sounds like we're talking about rishus hayochid. It's a private area that the person's coming in and uncovering the tzlochis. It says the shmeitzer. From here you see that safek tuma b'shus hayochid Sveiko Tohar b'makom rov. That the Gemara is talking about Safek Tuma, presumably B'Shus Hayachid, because it says Shema Adam Tamei Nichnas L'Sham, and nevertheless you find that Sveiko Tohar because there's a rov. Now what's that based on? Why should we assume that that's true? So Lechora, the Shmaitz doesn't go so far, but Lechora we could just go a little bit further in light of what we're developing here. We could say, well, if a rov is a bira, we know rov is a bira. That's what most of the Mepharshim explain. A Ruba de Lesser Kamon is a bira, right? Well, actually, here it's not a ruba de lesa kaman. It's that there a rove of cases. Okay, there are many mefarshim who assume that a ruba de isa kaman as well is a birur. So b'makom the birur of rove, there is no suffik. When do I say suffik tuma b'shusayachid sveko tame? It's if I have a suffik tuma. But if I don't have a suffik tuma, so this doesn't make sense to say sveko tame. Claims the Shev Shmaitza. Says once you assume that Savik Tumah Bishus Hayachid Sveikot Tohar B'Makom Rov, so B'Makom Cheskas Aguf, you should say the same thing. The only time we'll say Savik Tumah Bishus Hayachid Sveikot Tomei is B'Makom Cheskas Tara. But since Cheskas Aguf is stronger than other Chazakos, it's stronger than a Cheskas Tara, so then perhaps Savik Tumah Bishus Hayachid Sveikot Tohar B'Makom Cheskas Aguf. Why should that be? So in light of what we're developing, it fits in beautifully. If a rove is a beer and a cheskas aguf is a beer, and presumably suffik tuma b'shus hayachid sveiko tohar b'makom rove, because whenever you have a beer, there is no suffik tuma, so it doesn't make any sense to be metameh. So some of the same should hold true for cheskas aguf. Suffik tuma b'shus hayachid b'makom cheskas aguf is basically saying there is no suffik tuma. So if there's no suffik tuma, of course it's going to be tohar. So in light of this, the Shmaitza wants to answer Tosfos' kasha in the beginning of Masechta Nida. Again, Tosfos says if suffik tuma b'shus hayachid sveiko tohar even b'makom cheskas tara. So how can Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel assume that Kol Anoshim die in Shaitan? Right, so the Shmaitza answers, the Cheskas Tuma of the Nida is a Cheskas Haguf. Because we're assuming that she's the Hora, the Cheskas Tara. Right? The Cheskas Tara of the Nida is, he assumes, is a Cheskas Haguf, because we're assuming she's the Hora because she didn't see Dam. Right? In other words, the Din is affected by a Metzius. So because it's affected by the Metzias, the Shmaitza assumes in his Teretz that the Cheskas Tara of the Nida is really a Cheskas Haguf. And if you assume that a Cheskas Haguf is like a Birur, and Safik Tumah B'Shus Hayochid Sveiko Tohar B'Makom Abirur B'Makom Rov, so then in Memela B'Makom Cheskas Haguf, we should say Sveiko Tohar as well. Once you have a Birur, so then there is no Safik Tumah, so Memela should be Tohar. Yes. Yeah. You're right. In Shmaitza Aleph Perak Aleph, he tries to be mechalek. Right. Okay. Let's try to think of this row for a moment. Is this a ruba de isa kaman or ruba de lesa kaman? Let's try to think. The truth is, I take it back. The truth is, it's not a ruba de isa kaman. It's a ruba de lesa kaman because we don't have the items in front of us. It's not as though it's like Teisha Chanuyos, that all the Chanuyos are right there. And it's more similar to the case that the Gemara in Kiddushin on Daf Pei has, that Rov Tinokos Metapchin. Right? We want to figure out what this Tinok did. Is this Tinok from the Rov or from the Miut? Was he Metapeach Ba'ashba and he touched Shrotzim Tmeim? Right? So we're not sure. So it's the same thing over here. We don't have all the people in the world. It's that it could be that an Adam Ktohar came, or it could be that a Sheretz came, but we don't really know if it's Rov. It's that Alpi Rov, it's Mistama. What?
Don't want Rov cases, we're talking about Rov possibilities of what happened, as opposed to what the
Well, Rov Tinokos Metapchin also is a Rov, that most of the Tinokos in the world.
The nature of Tinokos, over here, we're not talking about the nature of people, the nature of animals, we're talking about what are the possibilities of what happened.
But why shouldn't that be a beer? I don't understand. That's not a ruba de isa kaman. The yesod that a ruba de isa kaman is not a beer is because it doesn't make any sense. Just because there are rov chanuyos mochos besar shchuta, that's not a raya that mistama the basa came from that.
Possibilities of where this came from was these numbers of these stories. Right. Over here, we're talking about the possibility of how this flocus was uncovered. Mm-hmm. As well as saying. Nature of people who recovered it, the rogue people probably
would
recover.
Mm-hmm. It could be this situation, even according to the Shmaitza, or even if it was a group of these coming. I was going to ask why the Shmaitza doesn't bring, it would seem to be more partial right from tradition, where the other Gemara says, how do I know Kavua? Because it rove. If it's Rov Shrotzim, so then it should be Tahar, and only because of the Din Kavua becomes...
And that's a Ruba de Isa Kaman.
All the Akron Mask over there, right. What's up, Shah? And they said because there's a special thing that has to have a Chol Shem Suffik in order to have the Tumah. Mm-hmm. So it would seem that would be an even more clear Raya.
A stronger Raya. He's going to get Diak, it's really talking about... It. Right, it's Rishu Sayachit.
Shmaitza would be able to hold the Ruba de Isa
Kaman. Right, that's a good point. That's an excellent point. You hear what he's saying? What?
That's how this makes worse.
No, it makes it better.
It makes it better. The fact that the Shmaitzah didn't bring that as a raya is the question, but the yisod of the Shmaitzah is the same. Right? So are you arguing the svara, or are you arguing from the tzad of the Shmaitzah? It's a problem with the Shmaitzah, or it's a problem with the svara? Okay, let's go back then. Talk about it later. Okay, the second issue that's affected, or that might hinge on this question, that Cheskas HaGuf might be a birur, is whether we can be Motzi Mamon based on Cheskas HaGuf. Can we be Motzi Mamon based on Cheskas HaGuf? So, we paskin like Rabban Gamliel, that we do follow Cheskas HaGuf, but Mokom Cheskas Mamon, right? We can be Motzi Mamon based on Cheskas HaGuf. Right? That's how we paskin. But the Shmaitza, very carefully, the Shmaitza and Shmaitza Beis Paragimel, right? In Shmaitza Beis Paragimel, the Shmaitza points out that there's a major machlokas rishon both on Daf Yud Beis and on Daf Ayin Vav and Daf Ayin Hey. There's a machlokas rishon whether Rabban Gamliel would claim that we follow Cheskas HaGuf to be motzi mamon only b'tziruf tainas bari, that it's a bari v'shema. Again, the Mishnah on Daf Yud Beis says what happens if someone marries a woman, Kashanisha, and it turns out that she didn't have besulim. The woman claims that she was Nansa. She agrees that she was Nansa, but she claims that the onus took place after Erisin. And the Baal claims no, it took place beforehand. So the Baal is not a Bari. He doesn't know for sure when the onus took place, but the woman is a Bari. So it's Bari Vishema. So should we say Rabbi Gamliel is willing to follow Cheskas HaGuf to be Motzi Mamon only Betziruf, the Tainas Bari of the woman, that there's a Bari Vishema? Or not? So the Ran, the Shmaitza quotes the Ran on Daf Ayin Vav, assumes that Cheskas HaGuf, according to Rabbi Gamliel, Cheskas HaGuf can be Motzi Mamon only together with the Tainas Bari of the woman. But Tosus disagrees vehemently. Tosus quotes the Ri both on Lamed Vav and on Daf Ayin Vav, on Lamed Vav, and Alav Dibra Maschil Chareshes, and on Daf Ayin Vav, and Alav Dibra Maschil Resha. Tosus quotes the Ri. The Ri had one pshat, and then he was chosen. But it's a whole back and forth. But the maskon of the Ri is that Rabbi Gamliel would be motzi mamon based on a cheskas haguf, even without a tainas bari. Just cheskas haguf alone, cheskas haguf itself, can be motzi mamon. And the question is, how could this be? But see, if a tainas bari v'shama, you could start to give svaris. Obviously, cheskas haguf isn't strong enough according to that shita. According to the Ran, cheskas haguf itself wouldn't be able to be motzi mamon, but with the tainas bari, maybe it can be motzi mamon. There are different svaras that you could give. But to say cheskas haguf can be motzi mamon by itself, this is a pella. We know that we don't follow rov b'mamon. And certainly, if cheskas haguf is only a chazak, if it's just a hanhaga b'yalma, clearly it shouldn't work by mamon. In mamon, we need a raya, we need a kind of birur, right? Just the hanhaga b'yalma, that certainly is not going to work. So even if we'll claim the cheskas haguf is like rov, it's a birur, but how can it be motzi mamon? The statement of the Ri seems very strange. How can Rabban Gamliel, and we paskin this way, how can Rabban Gamliel claim the cheskas haguf will be able to be motzi mamon if cheskas haguf is certainly no better than rov, it seems, even though it might be a birur, but that kind of birur presumably doesn't even work with mamon. So I think the answer probably runs as follows, that you have to ask your question, when that which we say, ein holchem b'mamon achar harov, what does that mean? That which we don't follow rov b'mamon. Is the gzeres hakosav al pishnayim edem yakom dover, which tells us that we don't follow rov by mamon. What does that mean? Is this gzeres hakosav that the only birur that's accepted by mamon is shnei edem, only a pair of edem will be acceptable as a birur? Well, no, maybe all the pasuk is telling me is that you need a very strong birur, you need a very strong raya to be motzi mamon. Two Edim is an example of a very strong birur. It's not that we don't follow Ro because there's no birur besides Edim that's going to be Neman B'mamon. No. Technically, I could have followed another birur. The problem is Ro isn't as strong as Shnei Edim. It's not a Gzeres HaKosov that Al Pishnayim Edim Yakom Dava. That's it. There's only one option. There isn't only one option. There are many options. If you could find a birur that's as strong as Shnei Edim, maybe you could be Motzi Mamon without Edim. Right? The only thing is, Rov is not as strong. Rov is not as strong a birur as Shnei Edim, so that's why it can't be Motzi Mamon based on Rov. So, what's the pshat? The fact that we can't be Motzi Mamon based on Rov. What's the svara? Is it that Rov is bad, or that Shnei Edim is the only acceptable birur? So the Shmaitza, in Shmaitza Dalet Perek Ches, Shmaitza assumes as a davar pasha that Shnei Edim bedafka, that al pishnayim Edim Yakum Dover tells me that Bedavke Shnei Edim Anemon B'mamon. And that's it. That's the only birur that's acceptable. And he explains a lot of Rishonim based on this. This is a Yesod that the Shmaitz is very fond of. But not everyone agrees with this. It's clear from some Rishonim, but not all Rishonim agree with the assumption of the Shmaitz and Shmaitz Adalat Perek Ches. Tosus, for instance, Tosus in Sanhedrin, on Dav Gimel Amid Beis, and Dibur Maschel Dinei, Tosus asks, why don't we follow Rov by Mammon? Hare, we know from the Gemara in Chulin that we follow Rov by Dinei Nefashis. Why don't we make a Kal V'chomer if you can kill someone based on Rov? Right, the example of the Gemara is that we kill someone for being Makeh Oviv, even though we don't know for sure that this was his father, we just follow Rov. Right, we follow Rov, that Rov Be'ilos Achar Habal, that we assume that if someone is married to a man, some Mestama, right, if she gives birth to someone, Mestama, that child is related, the child is the child of the father, the child is the child of the Baal. Right, so we're following Rov there. So if we can follow Rov by Dina Nefashos, Kal V'chomer, we should be able to follow Rov, to be Motzi Mammon. But to kill someone, you can follow Rov, and to be Motzi Mammon, you can't follow Rov. So ask Tosus in Sanhedrin, why don't we follow Rov by Dina Mammon? Let's learn a Kal V'chomer from Dina Nefashos. Just like we follow Rov by Dina Nefashos, we'll follow by Mammon too. To which Tosus answers, in a Chanami, we could follow Rov. We could follow Rov by Dina Mammon. By a Rov Bari, we'll follow Rov not only by Nefashos, but by Mammon as well. There's no halacha l'moshe misina that we can't follow Rov by Dinei Mammonis. The problem is that most of the Rovs that the Gemara talk about, Rov Ruba L'Rajas Vina, these kinds of Rovs, these are Rov Garua. Right? These are weaker Rovs, they're not as strong. By a Rov Bari, we Taka could follow Rov even by Dinei Mammonis. And Taka, the only Rov, claims Tos, the only Rov we'll follow by Dinei Nefashos is a Rov Bari. In other words, the Rov that the Gemara in Chulin says we follow in Dinei Nefashos is a Rov Bari. And in that case, we would follow Rov by Dinei Mammonis as well. The Rov that the Gemara says that we don't follow by Dinei Mammonis, that's a Rov Garua. And Taka, by Dinei Nefashos, we wouldn't follow such a Rov either. So basically, what's emerging from Tosus? Tosus in Sanhedrin is saying there is no Gzeres HaKosov that tells me that we can follow Rov by Dinei Mammonis. We really could follow Rov as long as that Bira would be strong enough. All right, so clearly, Tosus in Sanhedrin disagrees with the Shmaitzah. Right, Tosus in Sanhedrin is assuming that you don't need Dafka Shnei Edim to be Motzi Mammon. You could be Motzi Mammon based on some other Birur. The problem is, generally speaking, most other Birurim are not strong enough. But even Rov itself, which we generally assume in the Gemara we can't use B'makom Dinei Mammonis, if the Rov is strong enough, we could use even Rov. So certainly if you could fathom, if you can invent a kind of Birur that's very strong, maybe a Taka could work B'makom Dinei Mammonis, to be Motzi Mammon. So maybe that's the pshat. The pshat in the Ri is that the Ri understands that Cheskas HaGuf is similar to a Bira. What kind of Bira? A Bira of a Rov Bari. It's hard to prove what it should be, but apparently that's what the Ri assumes, that you don't need any Hitzarfus of Bari V'Shema. You don't need the Bari V'Shema as well. Why? Because Cheskas HaGuf is a strong Bira. First of all, he denies what the Shmaitza claims, that Alpishnayim Eidim Yakum Davar tells me Dafka Shnei Eidim. There's no such din, no such pasuk. The pasuk only means to tell me that I need a very strong Bira. Maybe Cheskas HaGuf is as strong as a Rov Bari. Maybe it's Taka, a very strong Birur. And maybe Taka can be Motzi Mammon based on a Cheskas HaGuf. What do the other Rishonim hold? What does the Ran hold? So the Ran could hold a number of things. The Ran might hold that maybe Cheskas HaGuf is not stronger than regular Chazaka Bechlal. Right? Maybe it's not a Birur Bechlal. But even if you want to say it's a Birur, he might take the approach of the Shmaitzeh. He might assume that Shnei Edim is Shnei Edim Dafka. And no other Bira can work, just like Rov is not going to work, so Cheskas HaGuf is not going to work either, right? There are many things that the other Rishonim can say. But B'das HaRi, it seems to me that perhaps the Ri is following Tosus in Sanhedrin, who assumes that Alpishnayim Edim Yakum Dover doesn't mean Shnayim Edim Dafka. It's Lav Dafka Shnei Edim. Any Bira can work, as long as the Bira is strong enough, and he assumes that Cheskas HaGuf is as strong as the Bira of Rov Bari, and therefore it might be strong enough to be Motzi Mammon. Okay, stop here.
So in the case there